This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Well, hey there, ladies and gentlemen. It is Adam Ritz, and I'm the host of The Adam Ritz Show. I know that sounds weird. How does that work? Jay Baker's on the phone with me. Jay is the host of The Jay Baker Show, but he's appearing today on The Adam Ritz Show. Hey, Jay, how's it going?
I'm doing well. The Jay Baker Show was when I was a younger man with much more energy.
Well, you've still got a lot of energy and a lot to give, and we're glad you're here to give it to us. So I've been hearing about these AEDs. The gym I work out at has a charity where you can donate for them to purchase AEDs for the community's fire department and first responders. So I wanted to find out more about an AED and what it does. Are you familiar? I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you know what an AED is?
I'm going to guess the D stands for defibrillator.
Perfect.
And I believe these are items that you could place in public locations that would allow somebody that didn't even know CPR, but could provide some help to somebody that was having a cardiac event.
And that is why we have you on the show, because you've got the big brain inside your big skull. And yeah, the magic word is defibrillator. The A and the E before the D, the defibrillator, is automated external. So really, you know, it's the magic word here is these are defibrillators. And the automated external defibrillator does save lives. Here's some a few statistics for you, Jay. Every year, sudden cardiac arrest will kill 335,000 people of all ages and all fitness levels without warning. 95% of those who suffer from a sudden cardiac arrest die because of CPR and defibrillation occurred too late, if at all, if at all. So here's the amazing statistic that can save lives. If the first person on the scene knew CPR and applied an automated external defibrillator within 5 minutes, the American Health Association estimates that at least 40,000 more lives per year could be saved. That's a big number.
It's impressive. Number. And yes, and you're absolutely correct that if you have a sudden cardiac incident or episode, and it occurs and nobody gets to you in, let's say, 4 or 5 minutes, you're in pretty dire straits. And as you pointed out, it's not just one or two. It's an extensive number of Americans that die every year.
And these machines cost roughly $1,500 to $3,000, anywhere around that number, and they need money. So one of the suggestions at my gym is they're doing a 5K. I am not going to run the 5K, partly because it's in the morning and I don't do mornings. however, you know, they still have a QR code where you can give. So whether or not you're going to do a 5K, a golf outing, some sort of event, or just give a couple bucks or even a few cents through a QR code or a text message, the money will go to a great cause. These AEDs do save lives. Automated external defibrillators save lives. So if you see that on a poster somewhere near you, give to the community for AEDs. That's what an AED does. And let's hope that none of us need one in the near future.
And if you happen to be in a public spot, you might want to check and see if they do have AEDs. I have been fortunate enough to belong to a social organization that they just had a couple of units installed at their location. Here at the radio station, there's even a couple here at the radio station. Everyone knows that the disc jockey lifestyle can oftentimes result in what we call sudden cardiac events.
Well, there's a lot of beer cheese flowing through our veins here in the radio industry. Fried foods and drive-thrus. That's the DJ lifestyle. And yeah, those AEDs should be in every radio station in America.
When the ratings come out, the entire staff could potentially need an AED.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about stress levels yet. Yeah, the cholesterol levels, and the stress levels when the ratings come out. That can do it.
We kid because we care. But yes, that's a great point that you're making. And Adam will sleep in, but he'll give money. So you can either participate or give, but we ask you, please do one or the other or both.
And you know what? Now that I say that, these 5Ks, especially in the fall and the winter that are in the morning, it's so just dark and cold in the morning. I don't want to get up. Maybe I'll start a 5K that takes place at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
There you go.
And maybe it'll be for something really unhealthy. Some real unhealthy cause, or for insomnia.
Whenever you mentioned 5K and running to help charity, you and I had that story a while back about the 1K that's downhill, but they give lots of money to charity. But you and I were laughing because that's exactly the type of sporting event that you and I would be looking for.
Oh,
the 1K downhill.
The 1K downhill. I mean, that's the greatest event ever.
So funny. Hey, here's kind of an interesting thing I ran across. There is a streaming service called Tubi, T-U-B-I. They just made it a whole lot easier to sneak in some streaming at work with a new Chrome extension that has been designed. It's called Productitubity. It's a free plugin that lets you watch movies and shows right from your desk.
So how many people?
Can get in trouble. No,
how many people did you just get fired telling them this information that they can watch movies and TV easier at work?
Now, here's the part that made me laugh when I saw this. There is a command you can give it to put up a work screen if your boss happens to stroll by. So you interrupt Terminator 2, and all of a sudden it flips over to what looks like you're maybe working on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, you got a pie graph on the screen. Nobody asks any questions.
It's pretty funny. The video even pauses so you don't miss a moment of your show.
Technology.
The idea was inspired by a survey that found most Gen Z workers admit to streaming on the job, with nearly half fibbing about it. So Tubi kind of basically said, hey, you're going to possibly do it anyway. We're just going to give you a pathway.
Well, I think the ultimate takeaway from this story is don't hire Gen Z. If that's what they're admitting, that they watch TV at work, that generation needs to work on some things.
And if you have the type of job like you're working in a missile silo or some job of that nature, please do not watch videos on screen.
Yeah, you need to pay attention for certain.
Please pay attention for Homeland Security. Chick-fil-A has just revealed a test of its first ever 24-hour vending machine at the Children's Hospital of Georgia. This is in Augusta, Georgia. The vending machine will be open every day of the week except Sunday, just like Chick-fil-A locations. And it'll offer grab-to-go items, including the Chick-fil-A cool wrap, the veggie wrap. They've got a couple of waffle and potato chip flavors. It's said to provide a convenient option for hospital employees and visitors on the go.
I would love to get a Chick-fil-A sandwich from a vending machine.
Yeah, and you probably know this, there are a couple of different fresh food companies that have been working on creating more vending machines to give you more healthy choices. And while Chick-fil-A is not the perfect healthy choice, it would certainly be a better choice, in my opinion, than the five bags of Doritos you might eat in lieu of a sandwich.
There's some protein inside a chicken breast, even if it's breaded, and even if it's been sitting inside a vending machine for 17 weeks.
Absolutely. So Chick-fil-A has said that it's only an experiment. But if it's successful, they may be rolling it out into other locations.
It's I saw a vending machine 2 weeks ago. It had hot pretzels in it, so it was like a big oven. Like it was a baking touchscreen. You couldn't see the oven, but there was an oven inside. And if you ordered, you know, through the touchscreen, the pretzel, it would tell you like it would be ready in 5 minutes. And so the robot inside would take the dough, put it inside some sort of baking contraption, make it hot and fresh. It would come out the hole, and you'd have a hot pretzel.
There's an actual robot inside that's not too dissimilar from the robot as featured on the Jetsons.
That's what it
cartoon.
Is. Robots will make your pretzel.
Robot is heating up your pretzel.
It could be an hourly employee. I mean, if you get the low man on the totem pole at the office, they may send you out to the nearest vending machine to get inside to make the pretzels for people.
Absolutely. Well, you and I know that if you hear a news story that features Motley Crue's Tommy Lee, Metallica's Kirk Hammett, and U2's Adam Clayton, you would think those rock and roll guys, they're up to no good, but actually they're all saying goodbye to some of their gear as part of Julian's Played, Worn, and Torn charity auction. It's taking place November 20th and 21st at the Musicians Hall of Fame and Museum at the Historic Municipal Auditorium in Nashville. Give you an idea, Kirk Hammett, his particular collection features over 150 guitars, awards, and instruments that were played on stage. Tommy Lee offers a variety of memorabilia and some instruments. And Adam Clayton will feature his bass guitars. A portion of the proceeds will benefit Music Cares, with additional pieces from the auction supporting causes like Teen Cancer America, Gibson Gives, and the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which I think is based in Nashville.
That's fantastic. I love hearing the stories of these rock and rollers that are using their platform for good. I did notice that you said Kirk Hammett from Metallica is going to auction off a few, if not all, of his awards. His awards? That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. When you think about these auction items, we've always talked about how these are such one-of-a-kind things. And these rock stars are basically saying, look, it looks nice sitting on my shelf at home, but if somebody wants this and it goes to a good cause, hey, I'm all for it.
I mean, I want a Metallica, you know, MTV Music Award on my mantle. And what a conversation piece. I could tell people that I was in Metallica and I won this award in 1991.
Yeah, when you tell people you were in Metallica, you don't really feel that that would be stretching the truth. You just feel like, no, you want people to know.
I mean, anybody can have a guitar in their office. And
sure,
if you say, well, I was in Metallica, there's my guitar, no one's going to believe you. But if you've actually got an award, you might have to scrape out Kirk Hammett's name off the plaque, but pencil in your own name with some duct tape or something. But yeah, that would be cool to have an award.
Well, there is that little note there, yes. But yeah, I think it's so cool. And I forget who I read about who will be participating in a celebrity auction soon. Alex Van Halen, the drumming brother of the departed Eddie Van Halen, has, by his own estimation, like a warehouse and a half full of nothing but drums. And he said that he wants to give exactly 50% of his drum collection to a charity auction. And they've been working on that the last few months.
Man, that would get a lot of money. Alex Van Halen's drum collection, I want to look into that. I think that'd be so cool to have in my office.
Oh, I think so too.
Hey, do you have time for a quick Eddie Van Halen story?
Yeah.
I just saw this flipping through, what do you call it, doom scrolling. I was doom scrolling, and I saw this reel, Eddie Van Halen, an interview with, was it Schneider? Do you remember that old TV host, Schneider? Was it Schneider, his last name?
I think it was, yes.
Like, he did the overnight, late night, like 1 a.m. show on NBC. It was called like Late Nights or Overnights or something.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
It doesn't matter. So Eddie Van Halen told the story about when he played the guitar solo on Michael Jackson's Beat It. And very famous guitar solo. In fact, if I remember when I heard it when I was a kid, like I didn't read the information. I didn't see a magazine. No one told me. I didn't hear an interview that told me Eddie Van Halen played the solo. I just knew when I heard it, oh my gosh, I can't believe they got Eddie Van Halen to play that solo, because he's just so recognizable as a guitarist. And years later, he told the story that when he was pulled in by Quincy Jones to play that guitar solo, he agreed to do it without even thinking about asking for compensation. So the interviewer asked him how much he got paid, or if he got any royalties from his appearance on Beat It, the number one song from the Thriller album. And
right.
And Eddie said, I didn't get a dime. I didn't even think to ask. And so
that's so funny you brought that up. I just read that in a book. Where that he did that and then didn't get paid and never followed up on it.
And one of the reasons he didn't ask, because he didn't want to make a big deal out of it, because he said he had an agreement with the rest of his bandmates in Van Halen that they would not perform monetarily or commercially with any other entity besides the band Van Halen. So
right.
Between tours, between studio sessions for Van Halen, the other three members were out of town. And when Quincy Jones asked him to play that solo, he didn't have time to contact the other three to get permission. So he just kind of said, okay, yeah, I'll do it. And he was hoping, like, no one would find out about it. And he's like, who's going to hear this? I'm playing guitar on this guy's record. No one's going to even know I did it. And it became one of the world's most famous guitar solos in the history of music.
That's funny you said that, because Eddie had gotten a conversation with his guitar tech, and the guitar tech said, you got to run this by Alex, your brother, and the other guys in the band, or they're going to be really angry. That's exactly what you just said. Eddie went, who's going to hear it?
No one's going to know I did it.
Yeah. And part of it supposedly was it just sort of came to him. He does it. And he said it was so like just to take Charlie that he said it wasn't even worth pursuing past other than doing somebody a favor to put some guitar on a record, you know?
Yeah, it was sort of an improvisation. He didn't work with them for weeks or months in the studio to get the guitar solo right. He just kind of went in there and won it, and that's what you got.
Yeah, that's
so there's
an amazing
a little
story.
Bit of music history from Uncle Jay and Uncle Adam.
There you go. Well, one of the coolest shows on TV, Married with Children, the cast of that show is going to reunite for an MS benefit event. They're reuniting for a good cause. Now, the hit series ran from April 1987 to June of 1997. And, of course, it centered on the Bundy family, played by Ed O'Neill, Katie Sagal, Christina Applegate, and David Faustino. It's interesting that those actors and actresses became pretty famous from what really was just a sitcom. You know what I mean? When I say just a sitcom, I mean, obviously, it was memorable. But, I mean, you talk about an acting career. Part of the reason I bring that up is I'm amazed by Ed O'Neill, how really versatile and good he is.
He was phenomenal on Modern Family as Jay, yes. Maybe one of the best characters in American television history. But, yeah, the man who scored four touchdowns at Polk High in
yes.
Chicago, Al Bundy. Boy,
isn't that funny?
If you ever have been flipping channels and watched some of those old episodes, it's almost like Archie Bunker. You couldn't get away with some of that stuff on TV now.
Oh, no. It was pretty edgy stuff. All four of the cast members are set to gather on stage at Los Angeles Wiltern Theater. That happens January 28th. They're going to reminisce about their time on the sitcom, with some behind-the-scenes stories, memories, and a whole lot more. The live event will serve as a benefit for the Race to Erase MS organization. Applegate was the, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and was forced into retirement in 2023. There's still some tickets for this event. As Adam and I have always said, if you've ever wanted to do a destination show, you can look this event up on Ticketmaster.com.
And what a great night of entertainment for like your parents. I'm thinking about my parents specifically, because I used to watch that show every Sunday night with my parents. And if I took my dad right now, he's 84 years old. If I sort of a surprise, like got him in the car and said, he said, like, where are we going? I'm like, don't worry about it. You'll know when we get there. And if we walked into an auditorium and the Bundys walked on stage, he would lose his mind. What a cool event that would be to take somebody to that was a fan of that show. And yeah, we send our prayers Christina Applegate's way. She's been having some health issues, and it's great to hear the cast getting back together for this MS benefit. Congratulations all the way around.
Well, it's beginning to look a lot like the holidays, Adam. As you and I know, this is that time of year we start thinking about family and friends. And I personally, part of the holidays, I love holiday movies, and mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting. Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which starred Jim Carrey famously as the Grinch. I don't think anybody could play the Grinch better than Jim Carrey.
No, he was born to do that.
Absolutely. This film is making its way back to theaters. The Ron Howard-directed film originally premiered in the year 2000. I don't know about you, but time is flying.
2000?
2000.
A quarter of a century ago.
Yeah, celebrating its 25th anniversary. And to mark the event, they'll have a special release on December 12th for a limited run. Some of these films, as you know, Adam, they end up on streaming services, but it's kind of fun to go back to the theater. So think about taking your family. You can buy tickets on the Fandango website. And, of course, there will be other re-releases during the holidays as well. But just sort of an idea. The big screen, we sometimes forget how magical it is.
You know, it's a great idea. A great family event. Go see an old family favorite movie inside a theater on one of these sort of anniversary showings. You always notice something on the big screen that you don't see in your living room, even on a 75-inch flat panel. If you've got a giant TV, it's still infinitesimal compared to a movie screen. So you notice something in one of the scenes that even if it's your favorite movie you've seen 100 times, you will notice something that you didn't see at home in your living room.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're bringing this to you as a public service because, you know, part of this show is we like to keep you informed and we like to keep you safe. We know that our listeners would never intentionally break a law. So I have collected a group of perhaps odd, but I think very informative food laws here in the United States.
I wondered where you were going. Here's Uncle Jay with a list of laws that you can break that you didn't know about.
I just want you to know ahead of time, because if you have to call the public defender's office, I want to try and save you from, the gray bar Hilton during the holidays.
Okay, this is great. So great way to wrap up the show. We have about 4 minutes left, plenty of time.
Okay.
And these are, what do you have here? These are food laws you maybe didn't know about?
Food laws, yeah. Like in Alabama, it's illegal to walk down the street with an ice cream cone in your back pocket.
No, it's not. Are you serious?
Yeah. In Connecticut, a pickle isn't officially a pickle unless it bounces. The rule was created after inspectors discovered vendors selling bad pickles and used the bounce test to spot fake pickles.
Now, hold on. I want to go back. If you're in Alabama and if you have an ice cream cone in your front pocket, you're completely okay. Front pocket's fine.
Yeah, apparently any other pocket other than your back pocket.
But the back pocket is where they haul you away. Okay, now we're pickled. What state? And the pickle has to bounce or it's not a pickle?
That's Connecticut. The pickle has to bounce. And I think we got – do we have time for one more?
We've got plenty of time. We've got a couple minutes left.
Oh, here we go. New Jersey, against the law to slurp your soup in public – while in the Garden State itself. So outside of New Jersey, it's okay. Slurp to your heart's content. But while in New Jersey, they catch you doing it, it's jail time.
I would love to know when the last time someone was written a citation for one of these crimes. You know, they've been on the books since forever, and they just haven't been taken off. And you know, for whatever reason, this slurping soup noise ordinance was in existence in whatever year, 1600 or whatever, and it's just still there. I wonder what year was the last time they actually arrested somebody for that.
And what I like about that is, you know, it's on there because probably some famous lawmaker was eating lunch at his favorite location and somebody was slurping soup and he said, enough of that.
Enough is enough.
And I'll just leave you with one other one. It's illegal to eat fried chicken with utensils in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
What they're basically trying to convey is that Southern hospitality and good manners means you pick up your piece of fried chicken and you put it in your mouth. You don't need utensils.
You don't. I mean, the slogan is finger licking good. It's not knife and fork good. I've used a fork. I admit it, Jay. Maybe I'm a little uppity, a snob. I've used a fork once in a while to eat my fried chicken, but it's only to pry away that delicious fried skin and eat that first.
Well, thank goodness you didn't do that in Georgia, or perhaps this show would be originating from the Georgia State Penitentiary.
I got to look up that back pocket ice cream cone law in Alabama. There's got to be a record of when the last time somebody was arrested for putting their ice cream cone in their back pocket. And why would you ever do that, especially in Alabama in the summer? All right, Jay. Awesome stuff. We will look forward to many more incredible shows with you as we wrap up the year 2025. You mentioned how fast time is going. We look forward to these end of the year shows, as well as the new year. Is it too early to start talking about the new year? I don't know when you can start saying Happy New Year to people.
Never too early.
You know, it seems like every holiday gets a little earlier every year. So why not? I'll be the first one to say this. If you're listening in your car, and to you, Jay, Happy New Year, Jay Baker. And to our listeners, if you want to hear this show again, and I don't know why you would, but you can in podcast form on our website. Give it a click, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.